to Nach Yomi. Today we are going to be learning Mizmor Kuf Chaf, the 120th Psalm in the Book of Tehillim. And this starts a section of Tehillim of 15 Mizmorim, back to back, called the Shir HaMa'alot section, from Kuf Chaf to Kuf Lamed Daled, 120 to 134. And let's just, before we even dive into Mizmor Kuf Chaf itself, let's do a quick, brief introduction to the Shir HaMa'alot section in Tehillim. All of the next 15 Mizmorim have the introductory words Shir HaMa'alos, a song of ascent, literally as is translated, with the exception of Kuf Chaf Aleph 121, which is Shir LaMa'alos, a song to the ascents. But it seems that they're clearly all meant to be together, they clearly are meant to be strung together in one general cohesive unit. Why are they called Shir HaMa'alos in general? Rav Sadia Gaon says very simply, Ibn Ezra says a similar suggestion, that it was sung with a high melody, whether it means major key as opposed to minor key, whether it means to say a higher octave, that is out for the jury. But nonetheless, what it does mean is that this was meant to be sung on a more upbeat scale. The Meiri says that perhaps, you know, with a little variation, it was started on a lower and it was raised. As people would sing this, they would sing it going higher, and therefore each of these songs would have a crescendo. The Da'at Mikra points out that there are other suggestions. Here are a few other suggestions. It could be that this is sung, Shir HaMa'alos are sung when the nation of Israel are returning up to the land of Israel after their exile. And what the proof of that is Mizmor Kuf Chafav, where it says B'shuva Shemes Shivas Tzion Hayuna Kachomim, when Hashem returns the exile of Zion. And the Mepharshim say, no, it could be sung by Ole Regalim, those who come up to Yerushalayim. A proof for that would be Kuf Chaf Beis 122, where it says Shir HaMa'alos Samachti Ba'omli Beis Hashem Neilech, I'm so happy when they tell me I'm going to the house of Hashem. Other Mepharshim say it could be a song brought with korbanos. As example, Shir is almost a contraction of Shir Lemea Olos. It is a song for 100 burnt offerings. Or it could be an expression of tefillah. As we know, we say towards the end of Pesukei Zimra, we say La'ale u'lekales. La'ale means to say, to praise, to daven to Hashem. So Shir HaMa'alos might be a song of davening to Hashem, as an example. These are what the Mepharshim suggest. It is fascinating that there is a larger perspective which is to be found, and that is the Mishnah in Sukkah. In the fifth perek, Mishnah Dalet tells us that there were 15 steps in the Beis HaMikdash, which were between the Ezras Nashim and the Ezras Yisrael, and those 15 steps corresponded to the 15 Mizmorim of Shir HaMa'alos in our Tehillim. And in fact, the Mishnah over there is in the context of talking about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, where the Hasidim and Anshei Ma'aseh would do all their incredible tricks at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and dancing and juggling, and the Levim would be on the steps singing. And that's where it recounts that there were these 15 steps corresponding to the 15 Shir HaMa'alos. In fact, the Mishnah in Midos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Hay, tells us that these steps were not simply rectangular steps, they were circular steps, semicircular steps. So each one of them, each lower one, was larger than the one that was above it. And this is how Rashi introduces our Shir HaMa'alos. There is another version of how this works, and that is the Gemara in Sukkah on this Mishnah itself. It's actually to be found, the Gemara in Nun Gimel Am Aleph, going over to Nun Gimel Amud Beis, tells the following story. It says that when David HaMelech was Kora Shisin, which means to say he was digging the pipelines which were to go underneath the Mizbeach for the wine and water libations, for the sacrifices of the Beis HaMikdash, when he was digging these, what happened was that in a certain sense, it's almost like he hit the plug, so to speak, metaphysically, and the waters of the world rose up, threatening to destroy humanity. At which point, David HaMelech did not know what to do. He asked a halachic shayla, and Achitofel, who was then his advisor, before he betrayed him later on, Achitofel suggested that he can throw the name of Hashem on a piece of earthenware into the water, and even though it would destroy the name of Hashem, if Hashem was willing to allow the name of Hashem to be written on a piece of parchment for the water of a sota, he certainly would allow it for the shalom of the whole world, not just one family. Throws the cheres, throws the earthenware in, the waters subside, but they subside more than they should. They go to such a low degree that in a certain sense there's not enough moistness or fertility in the world, at which point David HaMelech recites the 15 Shir HaMa'alos, which helps bring up the waters to the sufficient level. That's the way that the Gemara describes it. Of course, We should be aware of the fact that the time we were notified of the 15 steps and the Shira Malos is the mission in Sukkah, which is at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Shoeva is when they celebrate drawing the water from the spring outside of Yerushalayim and putting it on the Mizbeach to go down into those shisin, into those pipes which David HaMelech drew, which makes sense. That's why it's related to the minhag of Simchas Beis HaShoeva on Sukkos. Whatever the Gemara does mean, because it's hard to understand this on a literal level, it sounds that sounds like there is a notion of this water, whether it be Ruach HaKodesh, whether it be some sort of spiritual entity in the world, which David HaMelech was trying to bring to the world and became overwhelming for the world. And David HaMelech was, in a certain sense, trying to get the right level of that power in the world. Not too much, not too little, and was able to bring it to just the right place where humanity is able to access it, is the Shir HaMalos, and that's what it seems to be doing. In terms of our Mizmor that we're focusing on today, we're going to be focusing on Mizmor Kuf Chof, the 120th Mizmor. Let's take a quick look at it inside. It is comprised of seven psukim, and the first pasuk is its introduction, Shir HaMalos El Hashem, Batsarosali Karasi Vayaneni, Hashem, in my pain I called out to you and you answered me. Then there are two equal sections, Pasuk Beis to Dalad and Hey to Zion. When we look at these two sections, the first section is a complaint and a begging for salvation from deceivers. Hatzila nafshi mitzvas sheker miloshon rimiya, save me from those who speak of falsehood. Deals almost as if it's a kina, it's a lamentation for a situation. Oyali ki garti meshech shechanti mo'ale kedoram. In this terrible place there, I'm with people who hate peace, who want to wage war, and I'm stuck. How do we put all the three pieces together? Because it sounds like in the beginning, in the introduction, he is saying that I called out to Hashem and I was answered. But when he carries on speaking, it sounds like he's in the situation of difficulty right now. How does this work? So one way of looking at it is we could say that the narrator has already been saved, as is indicated in his introductory line, but now he's going back emotionally to that place and space that he was in and describing what he was feeling then. Another way of saying it is, no, maybe he's still in that place now. He's still in a terrible dark hole, but he is now marshalling another experience where he had called out to Hashem elsewhere at another time and Hashem saved him, and that's his introduction to the way that he's going to describe the difficulty of this situation right now. One of the questions we could ask is, how many enemies are in this Mizmor? Because if you look at the beginning of the Mizmor, it describes the people who are his enemies are people who are Lashon Rimiya. They are the people who are deceitful. In the second half, it's people who are Sonei Shalom, people who hate peace. So it could be there's a progression, it could be the same enemy, at the beginning it's an issue of deceit, and then it progresses and escalates to a level of actually hate and intensified wanting of war. But it could be the two sets of people. It could be that the narrator is running from the deceivers into the hands of those who are the warmongers. In terms of the tone of this Mizmor, it starts off as a plea, but it progresses almost into a lamentation, which means to say that the tone is getting darker as we progress into the Mizmor. Goes to so far as to end on the word milchama, war. There's no resolution at the end. At the beginning of the Mizmor, we talk about how the person is hoping for Hashem's salvation. At the end, there is no salvation. It's very dark. In fact, this is reflected in the fact that the word or the name of Hashem appears in the first two psukim, but thereafter does not appear again. It's almost as if that's the person's expression, poetically, of their relationship to Hashem. They feel it's so dark, all they can see is the war that's in front of them, the struggles right in front of their life right now. In terms of the events behind this Mizmor, he does mention specific enemies. So in Pasuk Hey, he mentions Garti Meshech in the areas of Meshech and Oale Kedar. These are two nations in the Middle East. And it makes sense because he does talk about archers in the previous Pasuk, people who shoot bow and arrow, Chitzei Giborim Shinonim, the sharp archers of the strong ones. Which indicates these are sort of Bedouin tribes, children of Yishmael, who are known to be Rove Kashas, as the Torah tells us. They are archers, so it matches up certainly. It could be an individual's exiled here, his family, or perhaps even the nation of Israel is exiled here. And this could be describing as they are coming out of their personal galus, either for a temporary moment to do Aliyah Regel, or to actually leave the galus itself, perhaps. The Al-Sheikh says, no, it refers directly to David HaMelech's own life. David HaMelech experienced both slanderers, people who slandered him terribly, and people who are warmongers as well. And these people persecuted David, and David HaMelech had to spend his life running from them and seeking salvation. So therefore, this is specifically autobiographical. In terms of the places in our davening it appears, it is interesting to know that all of the Shir HaMalos, all 15 of them, are generally said in the winter months, after Mincha on a Shabbos in so many shuls, and it is said during that time, because it relates, of course, to water. During the winter months is the time in the northern hemisphere we pray for rain, and the Shir HaMalos relates to bringing up the water, similarly to Baruch Hinafshi, which precedes them, which is said on the Shabbos afternoon. It is also interesting to note that the Rambam in Hilchos Ta'aniyos does point out that in Perek Hay Halacha Dalet, that this is one of the Mizmorim which is added to the prayer service on a fast day. So this is the first of those extra additional Mizmorim which is added to the fast day prayer. In terms of a word in the spotlight or a pasuk in the spotlight, let's take a quick focus on pasuk Dalet. We talk about Chitzei Giborim Shinunim Im Gachalei Resamim. We talk about these sharp arrows of the strong ones who are with the coals of Resamim. The Gemara in Erchin on Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, which is the general area which discusses the concept of Lashon Hara, describes, as Rav Chisda says, that this is a metaphor for Lashon Hara. Why? Because the description of it is here, the metaphor over here is a person who is who's shooting these arrows, so from afar you're hurting and maiming another person. And the response to that is that a person is going to burn on these coals, and it's going to be, in a certain sense, be a metaphor for the suffering a person will have, for the terrible pain they're afflicted from afar. It is interesting to note that what is this rotem? We talk about the coals of the rotem, of the resamim. What is a rotem? So if you go to South Israel today, you can actually see what the rotem is. The rotem is in Latin, is a retama caper. It's like one of the caper bushes found in the southern Arava area. And it's fascinating that it was actually thought to be extinct, but it is now, has been rediscovered. It's what's called the broom plant. It's one of called the white broom. It's got these hanging leaves, which has white flowers in which appear on it. It can be found in North Africa as well, and the Levant. What is so fascinating about the rotem is that in the 19th century diary of Johann Ludwig Birkenhardt, he describes that the Bedouins would use the retama, the roots of this retama, as a coal. And in fact, he pointed out that these roots made extremely good coals, which were traded as such, because they were able to retain their heat even after they looked like they were out, even though when they looked like they were cold ash, they were able to retain their heat, which is perhaps gives us an understanding to this pasuk, which is that the people who speak Lashon Hara, who have these chitzim, these arrows which they shoot and maim people and hurt and destroy people's lives, what will the response will be? Im gachalei resamim. They'll be burnt, so to speak. They'll have this longer effect of suffering with the gachalei resamim, because what they did was to hurt lingering and inflict a lingering pain in somebody else's family and life. And the response, Hashem says to such people, is that they will be hurt, so to speak, with the gachalei resamim of this white broom plant, as well as the response to the Lashon Hara. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.